Welcome to Public Health Out Loud, public health for the public. My name is Dr. Philip Chan from the Rhode Island Department of Health. February is National Children's Dental Health Month. Dental disease is the most common chronic disease among children, which can be a surprising fact. It doesn't just affect kids' mouths. Poor oral health has immediate and significant negative impacts on children's overall health, their growth and development, school attendance, and learning. Today, we are joined by Katie Linwood, the communications manager at Rhode Island Kids Count, which is the lead agency for a program called Teeth First, which we'll hear about more in a second. This group facilitates and educates families and healthcare professionals about the importance of early dental care. Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So, Katie, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
I am the communications manager at Rhode Island Kids Count, which is a policy and advocacy organization for kids and families here in Rhode Island. And so I have many things that I do as part of that. I manage our social media, media relations. I help write publications, edit publications. And one piece of that is actually I help cover the oral health portion of our portfolio. My first job was at the Department of Health in the oral health program, and I have carried advocacy around children's dental health with me for over a decade now.
Well, welcome. And I know that Kids Count is certainly an important organization in the state focusing on the health in general of kids. So thank you for all the work that you do. And we'll talk about the oral health aspects today. So first off, tell us about Teeth First. What is it about, why it was founded, and what does it do?
Sure. So Teeth First, I'll start with our mission. Our overall mission of this entire initiative is to promote early dental visits for very young children in Rhode Island. Clinical guidelines are that babies should go to the dentist for their first visit by age one, whether or not they have teeth in yet, something that was not happening when we started back in 2011, and it's something that we continue to work on. So Teeth First began in, like I said, 2011. As an initiative of the Rhode Island Oral Health Commission. And so at Kids Count, we're the lead agency for Teeth First, but we are not by any means the only group involved in this. Teeth First is a collaborative group of organizations representing pediatricians, insurers, dental professionals, advocates like us, elected officials, community organizations, and public health professionals. And so, like I said, promoting early dental visits is essentially, it's our North Star. We believe that early dental visits put our children on a path to healthy smiles for a lifetime. And it's never too soon for dentists and families to team up in making a child's first teeth a priority from the start.
Wonderful. And I will say, as an adult physician, I've always realized the importance of oral health care in the adult population. As an infectious diseases specialist, we do see a number of infectious complications like, you know, up to and including heart infections, which, you know, with the teeth can sometimes be a source of that infection, and it can actually travel to the heart. One thing that has not been on my radar, at least, but then again, I don't tend to work a lot with kids, is about the oral health of children. So talk to us maybe about some of the basics here. How common of a problem is poor oral health among children? What are some of the potential impacts? And I mean, does this lead to serious illness or disease among children?
Thank you so much for that question. Honestly, dental disease is the most common chronic disease among children, which can be a surprising fact. When a child's teeth hurt, it's pretty obvious that the effects are not isolated to their mouth. Mouth is a part of your body. Poor oral health has immediate impacts on a kid's overall health. So their growth and development, eating and speaking, going to be a problem. School attendance, learning, concentration, self-esteem. So, you know, children with dental issues suffer needlessly from a problem that really is preventable. It doesn't have to be that way. And we do have great dental providers here in Rhode Island who want to be a partner in making sure your child is as healthy as they can be. We think of the dentist for young children just as we would a pediatrician. They are friendly. It's a nice place with friendly people who just really want to help parents and guide families. And as far as, is this a big enough problem that children are being hospitalized? Unfortunately, yes. We do have children here in Rhode Island who end up in the hospital with dental issues. So these are kids who could have received preventive care, but instead it went untreated and progressed and progressed and eventually ended up in the hospital. So in Rhode Island in 2021, 288 children and youth were treated for a primary dental related condition in Rhode Island emergency departments. So that sounds a little wonky, but the way that we get the data, it tells us whether or not a dental disease was the reason for the visit or if it was something that was happening at the same time. So these are children and youth who had this as their main issue for being in the emergency department. And then in that same year, in 2021, 58 children and youth under 21 were hospitalized with a diagnosis that included an oral health condition. So it was something that was bad enough that they were then hospitalized for that oral health problem. And this shouldn't happen. This is a collective responsibility involving healthcare providers, dental providers, community organizations, policymakers, insurers, public health professionals, and families. Just anyone who works with children and families, who cares about children and families, really should care about this because this is something that is so easily prevented. And we need to work harder to get these numbers to zero.
And one thing too that I'm reminded in public health and certainly just health in general, we talk a lot about disparities. So in terms of oral health, are all children affected the same way by this, or do we see higher rates in certain populations?
So dental caries, which is a fancier way of saying cavities, like it's the disease that causes cavities. It affects all children across any way you want to split the data. That being said, disparities absolutely do exist. Children of color have the highest rates of tooth decay and untreated dental problems. That's across the nation as well as here in our states, in Rhode Island and here in the US. Kids that are higher income, kids that are Asian, and kids that are non-Hispanic white are less likely to have untreated tooth decay, which means that children that live in lower income families, children that are Black, and children that are Hispanic are more likely to have untreated tooth decay. And something that actually comes from the Department of Health, the Oral Health Program, in their latest basic screening survey of kindergartners, 21% of Rhode Island kindergartners had untreated tooth decay, which is outrageous, and it's also something that we can do something about. So I just really hope that this mobilizes people to think about this, to care about this, and what I always think about is the pain that these kids are feeling that is reflected in these numbers. So we're talking about kids that are hospitalized. We're talking about kids that have untreated tooth decay. I mean, think about how it would be for you to show up at your job if you have a toothache. It gets in the way of productivity. It gets in the way of joy. And children, should really just be able to be a kid, and partnering with a dentist to make sure that their teeth are healthy is one way that we can do that for our kids.
Let me ask you this question. This is my understanding of it, but would love for you to either affirm or correct. We've also talked on this podcast and just in general in public health about the obesity epidemic, especially affecting kids and affecting kids in Rhode Island. And part of that, is related to diet, it's related to processed foods and sugars, et cetera. Is that the reason why we see such high rates of tooth decay among our children? Is it sort of this processed food, these sugars that kids are eating, or is there another cause?
So I'm not the expert on that. As someone who is an advocate for kids around early dental visits, I can say with confidence that it's a variety of factors. So it's diet and nutrition. It's what are kids eating and drinking? How often are they eating and drinking? And this again is why getting to a dentist is such a great idea to have this anticipatory guidance around this. It's our children being put to bed with a bottle. That's something that can be an issue. It's health coverage. So, do kids have the coverage in the first place? And then it's access. So, it's not enough that kids have coverage. And this is something that we see more in the adult Medicaid population. But even though they have Medicaid coverage for adult dental, the rates tend to be so low that a lot of providers won't even take them. So, access to a dentist and being able to have regular checkups, healthy habits. What are the role models in their house? Do their caregivers brush their teeth, drink water? So it's a number of factors. We're just trying to get you to the dentist.
That certainly makes sense to me. So let's talk a little bit about teeth First? What is Teeth First doing to address some of these disparities that we're seeing? What else needs to happen in Rhode Island, in your opinion, to tip the scales and address oral health among children and make it accessible and affordable to everyone?
Like with most things in public health, I don't think there is an easy answer. And I think that there are multiple things that need to happen in order for us to get more kids and babies to the dentist. One thing that we have done that I've been particularly proud of, that we've worked with the oral health program at the Department of Health, is create an age one champion directory. So that is a list of dental providers that have indicated that they work with very young children, that they're accepting new patients. And it's available at teethfirstri.org. It's a list of all of these dentists, as well as their contact information, office hours, insurance accepted, and languages spoken. So we're just trying to facilitate that relationship. And the only reason that Teeth First is able to provide that information out is because of the information that the oral health program over at the Department of Health gives us. So that's one piece of it. Another piece of addressing disparities is thinking about from a broader perspective of what kind of providers do we have in our state? How are we incentivizing providers to go into public health, to work at community health centers? We have amazing community health centers here in Rhode Island, many of which have dental chairs in them, and they do incredible, incredible work. And I do know that at a number of them, they are limited with the patients that they can take because the caseload is so big and so overwhelming. So in order for community health centers to expand, we need to think about, okay, how are we incentivizing providers to come here? Dental school is quite expensive. That's something that we hear over and over again. And I do want to say, I am a public health advocate. We partner with dental providers. We partner with policymakers who have the expertise here. This is not me coming up with just like Katie Linwood's solution to this. This is what I've heard and we have heard over the years. It's very collaborative. Something that is as complicated as making sure that all young children get to the dentist is something that needs many stakeholders. And I feel very lucky that we do. That being said, you know, being creative about getting access to dental care, potentially outside of the dental chair. A couple of years ago, we did pass a public health dental hygienist bill. So it expanded the functions that a dental hygienist can do in a public health setting. And that was really spearheaded by Marie Jones Bridges, who is an incredible advocate. She actually works over at United Health now, but she is just one of the fiercest advocates that we have. So thinking about, can we reach kids in their schools? Where are the kids? And can we potentially leverage that and get them the information and care that they need there? So those are a couple of things off the top of my head.
And what about for people without insurance? Are there options for if kids don't have insurance or the parents don't have insurance for dental coverage? That's something, at least in the adult world, that we struggle with. But what about for folks that are uninsured?
So in the adult world, Medicaid is something that I care very, very much about. I need to say that I think that we're doing a good job for our kids, and I think that we're failing our adults as far as oral health concerns. It's connected to everything from employability to, you know, you're the expert here on infectious diseases. It affects the entire body, sleep, everything. And so often, and unfortunately, what we have seen are adults that come into the emergency room with an abscess. They are given antibiotics or some pain management and then sent, and then it's just coming back again and again. And some of this, it's reflective of access issues. And we don't have enough oral surgeons in our state to provide care for our adults. And these are adults who are just as worthy of living a life pain-free as children are. So that being said, Medicaid for adults is fee for service in our state. For children, it's different. Children in Medicaid families have coverage under Right Smiles, which is managed care. So the numbers sort of behind the scenes are different. We've heard from dental providers, it's still not enough, but it is better, much better than for our Medicaid adults. And I would stress right now, Medicaid redeterminations are going on for health coverage for kids. Right now, concerningly, we do have children that are being kicked off of Medicaid for paperwork reasons. Essentially, some paperwork hasn't been filled out correctly. So any low-income family has Medicaid coverage, and they do have Right Smiles. So please, you know, look into that. You can just Google Right Smiles. You can go on our Teeth First website to find out about that. Yes, we do have coverage for adults as well. I did want to say, and this is not enough, but it's something. Every year there's the Mission of Mercy, which is a 2-day free dental clinic for anyone and everyone. I would argue that it's not appropriate in our country to have people standing around for hours waiting to get dental care once per year because that's reflective of a broken system. But we have really great dental providers who saw this happening again and again and said we need to do something about it. So that does happen every year. I'm not sure when it is this year, but Dr. Jeff Dodge is the one who really spearheaded that, and I give him a lot of credit. He's a really great dentist.
Let's also chat for a second about some myths and misinformation related to oral health. What do you think is most often misunderstood about the importance of children's oral health and the connection between oral health and overall health in general? What are some myths and misinformation out there that you think are inaccurate or you want to correct?
Sure. So I want to acknowledge very clearly that there's a lot to worry about and be mindful of as a parent of babies and young children. So that nutrition, doctor's appointments, sleep, safety, et cetera. So that's one piece of it. I also want to acknowledge there's a lot to worry about and be mindful of as an adult. So your job, bills, groceries, the 1,000 tasks that running a household requires. And that's without some kind of crisis or stressor outside of the normal daily grind. We live in a very busy world. We live in this post-pandemic world where childcare and access to childcare is also a big problem for a lot of parents. So we understand that. It's very easy to let dental visits for young children fall to the bottom of the priority list. I think it's really important to have empathy when talking about people and talking about public health. So we are not here to blame or shame parents. We look at ourselves as someone who wants to encourage parents and families. So the thing is, though, delaying the dentist can mean letting issues needlessly develop, and that's what I think can be misunderstood. Your child doesn't ever, ever have to have tooth decay. Your child doesn't ever have to fear the dentist or have any kind of bad experience. Your child doesn't ever have to have a needle near their mouth. You know, I think some folks had bad experiences as kids potentially, and the world is different now. You know, pediatric dentists in particular are specially trained to work with kids. It really is a nice place to go to, and you know, getting in as early as possible will prevent trouble.
What resources are available for parents who want to learn more about children's oral health in general?
On teethfirstri.org, we have plenty of information that's bilingual, so it's in English and in Spanish for parents and families, geared specifically for parents and families. So, like I said, we have the listing of dentists who see very young children. That's available there. We have videos that show what early dental visits look like. We have pictures. And I do want to say that all of the pictures and videos and resources that feature real children that aren't the cartoons, those are all Rhode Island families, Rhode Island dental providers. And we've just had a really great group of partners who've worked with us to really make this stuff come to life. We also have a list of questions that might be good for you to review with the dentist. So, sort of guiding you in that conversation. We sort of give a 101 of dental insurance. So we have a lot of resources available for parents and families. We also have resources for community organizations. So if you work with young children, we have coloring sheets. We have other types of videos. We have brochures that you can order. So there's all kinds of stuff available.
We are here with Katie Linward, who's the communications manager at Rhode Island Kids Count and lead for the Teeth First program here in Rhode Island. Katie, thank you again so much for joining us. We are winding down here on time. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
To us at Teeth First, every month is Children's Dental Health Month. So definitely check us out. And, you know, we really look forward to connecting with you online.
Wonderful. Katie Linward. Thank you so much again for joining us. And for folks who are listening, please do check out again that website at teethfirstri, all one word, .org. And in closing, I do want to thank Erica Collins, our executive producer, and Carol Stone, our technical director. And thank you again very much, Katie Linward, for sharing this important information with us today. I'm Dr. Philip Chan signing off on behalf of the Rhode Island Department of Health. Thank you all and be well.